When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Scoutcast. My name is Joe.
And my name is Andy.
Welcome everyone. Now, everyone, 9 months ago, I don't know if you cast your mind back, Leeds beat Newcastle 5-2. And in unrelated news, Seb can't be here because he's just become a dad. Many congratulations from all of us. Andy, what is coming up in the show?
Yeah, so tonight this feels weird because usually it's Seb that does this. But tonight we've got our Game Week 5 roundup. So we'll be having a look at how we got on this week. We'll also be talking about midfield mayhem as well. So we're going to be talking about all those midfielders. There seems to be a lot of options, but what options do we go for? Some options that have been chosen aren't actually doing very well. And then some of the cheaper options are doing quite well. So we're going to have a little look at that. We're also going to have a look at defences as well, because we're starting to move a lot of our money into defence. And is that a good move? And actually, you know, that's something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, so we can definitely touch on that. We're going to be looking at the next four fixtures, so looking at our fixture ticker. We're going to discuss our differential picks. So there's only going to be two this week because there's only two of us on here. And actually, we've gone for two players from the same team as well, Ooh. Which is quite interesting. We're also going to have a look at Alex's team, see how he got on last week and see how whether our moves helped him and see how he's getting on in the overall ranks. And then we're going to finish with our team reveal so we know how we're getting on in general this year.
Yes. So for the second week running, you have a green arrow and you are top of the tree. It's just against me this time. But nevertheless, you have the highest score on the Scoutcast. So let's have a look at your team. Who were your heroes? Who were your villains on your way to securing 62 points and a massive rank rise as well?
Not too bad. My big rank rise was last week on wildcard. Mm-hmm. This week, I think it was only about 50k, something like that in the end. Any green arrow, I'm more than happy to take. Two green arrows after wildcard. The big thing for me this week was that I rolled my transfer. So I kept Antonio, rolled my transfer. So I've now got a green arrow with two free transfers, which I think if you can do that quite a few times in the season, you're going to be quite happy. A big shout out to Rudiger. Literally last kick of the game week, to be perfectly honest, and he obviously scores the goal. I'd actually finished watching the game. I was watching NFL, and I quickly flicked on and saw it was 3-0 and thought, oh, imagine if it's Rudiger, and it was.
Wow.
So yeah, that was an 8-point swing, so I would have only been on 54 before that. So yeah, very, very happy there. Saka, quite happy with...
6 points.
I've just realised there's little subtitles on the YouTube thing. It's putting me off there. It's subtitles when you're talking.
Oh, really? Some captioning. Which is good. What's it saying? I'm saying.
Game week, to be perfectly honest, and obviously scores the goal. it's me what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Yeah. Saka, I was quite happy with. He obviously won the free kick for Odegaard. I feel like there was... That whole midfield, I feel like could have banged. All of them could have done really well. Torres didn't play. Jota just can't seem to convert at the moment.
Do you see that miss? When you see a striker miss a goal and you think, I, as a man in my 40s, can score that, and then you know there's a problem.
He's so frustrating. Like you look at all my midfielders that I got on wildcard last week and you think, actually, there was justification for all of them. I know a lot of people have looked in hindsight and a lot of people have said, oh, Traore was never a good pick. And yes, I get that to some extent. But on a wild card, when I had exit points for all of them, I feel like it was worth taking it and worth taking that gamble. Torres is a big one, obviously. You know, home at Southampton, they draw 0-0 anyway, but he doesn't play at all. Normally, I'd be quite happy with the fact he didn't play any minutes because I'd get a sub in, you know, as opposed to him coming on for 10-minute cameo. But as it so happens, Alexander-Arnold didn't play anyway and Livramento came in. So, yeah, I think there was quite a lot of rough, quite a lot of smooth. Sah, not getting any points at all. The Wolves boys, not great, was it? But Livermento coming off the bench, Rudiger, Salah captain. 62 points, I'm going to take it and run this week, to be honest.
Definitely. It was one of those weeks, isn't it, where a lot of people were struggling to get 11 out. Some didn't manage that. Others, I mean, didn't really have a bench. It was Alexander-Arnold was the real shock. We've been relying on him. So I'll put my team up a little bit lower than yours. Not too bad, though. 56, I think I ended up with. So basically a Rudiger goal was the difference, really. So I went with Christensen. So I managed to claw some of those Chelsea defence points. But yeah, so looking at my team, I was looking at the defenders all scoring zero with Alexander-Arnold out. Cody, zero. Williams, the Norwich guy, couldn't quite do it for us. But Raya pulled it out the bag. He was a cheap goalkeeper I targeted for saves in tough fixtures, which I'm hoping he gets saves in against Liverpool, and clean sheets in the others, because Brentford are pretty good, pretty tidy at the back. Yeah. Christensen played, only missed one, and that was because of international minutes. So I'm fairly certain I'm going to get 4 out of 5 matches from him. Pretty standard, really. So very happy there. That's when in midfield it becomes a bit tricky. Salah obviously did well. Az has kindly said that I got him 24 points as a vice captain from him there. That was when he said, "Oh, do you have a check?" And I did point out some of the things the shirts were on, but I didn't actually notice the captaincy in the vice captaincy. Obviously, I captained Salah. Ronaldo was my vice captain. Still got some points there. Bamford was my transfer in. So I was quite happy, fortunate, I'd say, with that assist. Got him in for DCL. Sissoko was just on my bench. He just came on because of Alexander-Arnold. And Livramento stayed on my bench, sadly. Oh. So I only need one bench player. But so just three points down on that. So it's not too bad. But it is nice when you get a nice 5-6 points off the bench, though. But it's the other midfielders, which is the concern. So I've just wildcarded, so have you. And people look at that and go, oh, these teams. But mine's essentially a 3-4-3. I know you've got Torres in. One of the reasons I didn't get Torres in, because I didn't want Jota, Greenwood, Torres, and Trent. I didn't want four risks. I was pushing it. But so I'm looking at Traore as a weak link now. Definitely. He's not delivering on the stats. And we'll look at my goals imminent table a bit later. And you'll see why I'm not so keen on him. Greenwood and Jota are holds for the moment. But, you know, long term, I probably will move them on. But it's, well, we're going to talk about it about midfielders and defenders, really, in a sec. But I am looking, essentially, to move a bit more funds into defence. Keeping an eye on the Lukaku-Ronaldo situation, whilst at the same time not ruining my midfield. I don't want to end up with like four Sissokos or something, you know, Gilmore, Sissoko, and I don't know, some non-entity at Palace or something. But I would quite like the good guy at Palace, and I would quite like the good guy at Watford. I think these are offering me value, and I will play them. But yeah, enough of my team, my red arrow down to 146k. Been some rough with the smooth. So anyone rougher than me, I'm 1 point above average. So I'm presuming there's better and worse.
There is. So yeah, so actually it's been really nice this week. After I did it last week, a few people actually tagged me on Twitter straight away and said, I've got a good rough with a smooth for you. I can't screenshot all of them, but some of them I've screenshot, which is amazing. I've also gone onto the Scout website and got some from there. So Jack Brockenshire says, "Hi guys, I have a nominee for rough with the smooth. I'm firmly in the rough camp. As part of my minus 12, I took out Raya for Sa, who got zero. Also, I took out Sar for Gray."
Ooh, the Sar and the Sar brothers.
Yeah, and I also took out Livramento. And Livramento was second on my bench and didn't come on.
Oh, no.
So, not so nice there. Then we've also got FPL Philly says, I've got, this is quite, it's quite a lot rough this week. He took out Raya, Rudiger and Benrahma on his wild card. Ooh. And he brought in Guaita, Semedo and Traore. So his previous team would have got 72 points. and he got 57 this week.
So, yeah,
so he's still around about average, and he's probably set up quite nicely for the future, but obviously not an immediate return.
Good, good 15, 20-point swing there. I mean, you see it so many times. I mean, anyone who took Saar out, I mean, I'm considering taking Traore out. This will be the blooming week he does it. And yeah, then I'll keep him this week, so I hope so. I'd have chucked away his points for someone who won't score. But that's FBL. That's what you do every week.
Exactly.
You make that call and you do it, or you don't make that call and don't do it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
We've got one from Toby Lerone. That just reminds me of Chris Moyles, that does. Toby Lerone says...
Toby Lerone?
He took... Pardon?
Toby Lerone?
Yeah, he used to say that on to Chris Moyles. Yeah,
he's a three-sided kind of guy.
Yeah. he took White out for Semedo, which obviously didn't work. That's a bit unlucky. C-Dog brought in, says, after bringing in Christensen last week on my wild card, I decided I need a more secure route into the Chelsea defence, so I swapped him out for Reece James this week.
Did Reece James didn't get a minute, did he? Who's a zero.
Not,
in a week with no Antonio, no Alexander-Arnold, that's not what you need.
No, not at all. We've only got two more. We do have a smooth as well coming up. Munchen KFC says, took my first hit. Out went Tony, Tsimikas and Fernandez, and in came Ronaldo, Semedo and Jota.
Ooh.
Only 10 players, 200k red arrow.
Ooh.
And last one, KTK Interista says, huge smooth for me, 87 points this week. Salah captains, Saar, Benrahma, Duffy, Livramento off the bench. For TAA, Bamford, Ronaldo, and they all returned. Rudiger capped off an already great week. He jumped from 1.5 million to 577k.
Wow. Now, I was going to say, I think that's...
is that the one you were going to mention?
I think that's Kareem.
Oh, it might be then.
But that would be a startling coincidence. Do you know, when I was... Now, Kareem, it was on Meet the Manager. He's finished in the top 100k. Like every year, he's just the master of getting top 100k finishes. And we were talking about how to push on a bit. And Kareem was 1.5 million, he is now 577k. Katie,
it's gotta be him.
And I mean, I wouldn't have asked him because I know KTK Interesta's name frequent over the years. He's been a regular on the Scoutcast and Fantasy Football Scout. We're always answering his questions. But I never thought to ask Kareem, are you KTK interested? So if you're watching or if you're in the chat, do let me know if you're the one and the same. If not, that's an amazing coincidence. So I'm not going to mention Kareem's one because I think you've already done it. But Kareem was on Meet the Manager, 87 points. I think it's got to be the same guy. Well done.
Must be.
So what's our first topic? Just before that, I just want to mention some of the people who are in the chat, actually. Steve Elbows, Chu, Ryan, Istiak, Miena, Sange, Thomas, Lords, Slaughter PFK, Jay, and Gobbery, and Ben Holland, and many, many more. Welcome. There's lots of you getting up for nearly 300 now, and only 27 likes. So that either means that you can't be bothered to press the button. If so, please press it now, or you just hate us. In which case, just press the button anyway. Doesn't matter. Just, you know.
Just press it harder
and really passively, aggressively or something. just press that like button. So, yeah. Andy, what is our first issue that we're discussing?
Yes, so our first thing we're going to look at is midfielders. So I think a lot of people are starting to think about downgrading their midfielders and investing in defence. And if that's the case, what midfielders can we even trust? Is it that we can't trust these mid-price midfielders anymore? So, you know, you've got Greenwood, Jota. I've got Traore, Torres, Jota, and Saka. You know, Salah is obviously going to be a mainstay on our team. He's on a different level so far at the moment this year. But what can we do about these midfielders? Have we missed the boat on players like Saar? Because actually, he's got two beautiful fixtures coming up. And basically, just want to have a chat about these midfielders and where we think we need to be going with them.
Yeah, definitely. We had some community questions, I understand, as well. I can read them out if you haven't got them to hand. But if
yes,
you have,
please. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I will. Now, Karen, Erstwhile Scoutcast host says what to do with Ferran Torres. So he's another troubled one by him. He's a Man City fan as well, so that could be a bit of heartbreak removing him. Jack Brokenshire, who we've just mentioned, shall I buy back Sarr after selling him last week? So we mentioned his rough week, so he's looking to turn it around. You know what's going to happen once he does. And Ravin Kapoor, is it time to hold a transfer or get in an Everton midfield to target that Norwich defence? FPL vacuum cleaner and many, many others all asked, you know, what do we do with Traore and the Wolves attack? Have we got it wrong? And the Tin Man, how much longer do we give Greenwood? And I just want to mention FPL Sky Addict as well. He specifically asked the question, is to get Sarr in for Torres a no-brainer for the next 2 weeks, more so given two hard fixtures for City and two great fixtures for Sarr and Watford. You've already described your... What are you going to do?
Straight away for me. I actually sent a tweet out the other day saying that what my priority was for my midfielders in terms of who I think needs to be sold first. And Torres is top of that list for me. He's playing tonight. He's playing up top tonight, which I was quite surprised at, actually. I watched that game and I did think they needed somebody up top. They needed somebody who was actually going to be that player up top. And I feel like they missed him and they didn't even bring him on, which I was surprised at. And for me, I'm probably going to be downgrading him to somebody like Rafinha. I think if you have got a wild card and you're still planning on wild card in game week 7 or 8, I feel like if you haven't got Sarr, I feel like you probably do need to go for him. I feel like with his two fixtures coming up, I think it's Newcastle and Leeds, isn't it? Two defences, can't defend. You know, Newcastle in particular concedes so many shots. I do feel like it was a bit of Norwich effect this week with the fact he got his two goals, but he's effective against these poor opposition. And unfortunately, Newcastle and Leeds are showing they are poor opposition at the moment. So if you've still got a wild card, I think I'd definitely jump on him. I'm trying to think a bit more long term because of not having the wild card anymore. So Rafinha is probably going to be the way I go. Traore for me, if he's not an immediate sell, just because he's getting minutes, like he is playing. So at least he can get you the 2-3 points, whereas Torres could just not play, which is just an absolute killer. So I feel like Traore's not my biggest priority at the moment. Okay. Jota is a lot of money for a player that just isn't returning in a team that I don't get it. I do not get it with Jota. He should be, you know, they won 3-0. I don't know why he's not getting any returns at all. I think Torres for me is a sell. Yeah. I think Jota is a keep short term. Yeah. And I think Traore, unless you've got no other fires everywhere else, yes, you can get rid of him. But I think Sarr, if you do have a wild card, yes, I completely get that move. If you don't, I think someone like Rafinha's fine. I'm also looking at Decore quite a lot because I do really like the look of him this year. Yeah. And obviously they got Norwich up next. So yeah, that's where I'm at roughly with those midfielders.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 3-4-3. So I've got Salah, who's staying. I've got Sissoko, who's staying because he's just a bench guy. So it's those other positions. I've got Greenwood, Jota and Traore. Now, I do want to keep that sort of 7-ish, 7.5, even 8 million price point. So, but maybe, say when City's fixtures get good, Grealish is the guy that's playing all the time in the league. Maybe I want Grealish. So I want to keep one of Jota and Greenwood. I don't know which one, probably Greenwood. And I want to keep a 6 million or so midfielder. There's so much choice. There's Gallagher at the moment, just under. There's Sarr. There's all of those Everton midfielders. These are all good options that you can play week in, week out in a four-man midfield. So I want to keep them. And with the money that I'll save, that 2-3 million or so, by going a bit cheaper in midfield, but not drastically cheaper, I will invest that in one or two extra defenders that are better. So Cody could become Rudiger. That's very much something in my thoughts. Williams, if I've got even more money, Williams to a Man City defender, that's very much in my thoughts. So I would end up with something like double Chelsea defence, Alexander Arnold, and a City defender with Livramento as an absolutely brilliant bench option. But maybe I want to play Livramento. Maybe I don't need to go that far. So I can assess that. But for me, I'm going to keep, because of the fixture, Jota and Greenwood, I think, are going to stay for me this week. Traore is the one I think I might move on to someone like Saar or Gallagher.
Yeah.
Because these are players that I think I would want. That's why I've got that price point. Traore is not that guy, I thought. I saw Wolves fixtures and I saw Traore's underlying stats, but I didn't really look at the key one. Or rather, I did look at the key one, which is shots on target, and I ignored it.
Yeah, I was about to mention this.
So he's got massive oily arms running down that wing, and then it just nothing happens. Nothing happens with it. So,
I do agree. He has a lot of shots, but not shots on target. And you look at Saar, he's the opposite. He does get the shots, but he's getting the shots on target as well, which maybe that was a bit of an oversight there. Do you know what? It's interesting, though. I've got a few things that I completely agree with you about having that price point. So that's 7 to 8 million midfielder. But I look at that 7 to 8 midfielder price point. And do you know the one person I wanted that I thought, when the fixtures change, that's who I want was Mount. And he didn't play that. He got rested the last game and came off at half time in this game. Yeah. So I'm looking at it and thinking, I don't feel like he's even that safe an option anymore. Like, I was looking at a few Chelsea forums the other day, and they're not. They think he's dipped a little bit in his performances. And actually, if they're saying that, because they obviously love Mount, don't they? Well, most do.
Yeah, they do.
But if they're thinking that he's dipping as well, I'm thinking, well, the next midfielder I want to touch is probably Havertz. And it's like, I'm not going anywhere near Kovacic. I don't think that's the way to go. But you'd think then, like you said, double Chelsea defence is probably the only play. But then who do you pick from double Chelsea defence?
Because we'll come to that shortly. I don't know if we're going to get the same security, a better security of starts. But nevertheless, we'll talk about that in a sec. Hey, I've got some tables to perhaps help our midfield decisions. So I've got three tables here. I've got just simply best in terms of expected involvement and sort by minutes. So that's got those that hardly ever play, but could, you know, obviously do well when they do. I've also got another one shortly of the best 6.5 and under midfielders, because that's going to be a popular category for those who perhaps want to get Lukaku and Ronaldo, or certainly move more money into defence. And I've also got my old trusty goals imminent table, which I'll put on to see who's doing there. So I'll put up, this is just simply the best midfielders in terms of minutes per XGI. Expected goal involvement. Mahrez is top, so you can take that to mean that, yes, if Mahrez play, if you see Mahrez in the starting 11, whoopity do. But who is going to own him? Because, you know, a Man City, like with Torres, you know what you're getting yourself into. I don't think any, like yourself, as a Torres owner, you're not going to be shocked that Torres hasn't turned up the odd week. But with Mahrez, I think you're more shocked that he turns up any week. But in terms of minutes per XGI, obviously you've got the big guys, Mane and Salah. They're expensive. But then you move down and Gallagher's in fourth at Crystal Palace. Yeah. And this is why I really like him, because I'm just thinking long-term, fourth midfielder. I can play him every week. 5.6. Jota is still there because of he's expected, is he? It's an understatement. He's expected to score.
God, I don't get Jota.
I think it's not a case of Traore, as in he's never done it. He can't turn those. He's performed on the highest stage for a while now, and he's just not doing it at the moment. Now Sterling is there. Interesting. City's fixtures get better. Will we start to want to pile more money back into midfield to get the likes of Sterling? It's a bit pricey at the moment, 10.8. But bear in mind, people aren't interested at the moment. But if he's starting, he could do well. Torres is still there as well. Elianusi at Southampton, their fixtures turn, but it starts, are they guaranteed? Mount, if he shows up, can do well. And Gundogan as well. So these are all, these are the top minutes per XGI. I haven't filtered this by cost or anything. So there's a lot of, I think it might pay just to go for these sort of reliable picks, of which I guess Saar was in a way. We've seen Saar do it before. But you and I thought, ooh, let's go for the big oily guy that runs down the wing.
You're obsessed, Joe. You're obsessed.
Well, then, I don't know of any. I know. I don't want. It's like when you listen to, like on Talk Sport, when they do the commentary. I can't remember which commentator it is there. It's obsessed with footballers' hair. And he's always massive, long descriptions of hair.
You always mention the oily arms.
Being wavy. And I'm the same with massive oily arms. So, you know, I'm not one to talk. But yeah, some interesting names on there. That a lot of them aren't being considered.
Yeah, and you know what? I still see Jota on there, and if you were asking me who's your favourite midfielder from 7 to 8 million, I would be hard pressed to not go with Jota. Like, he's playing up front for Liverpool, yeah, who are scoring goals. In, you know, Salah's in great form.
Yeah.
I still think he is a good pick. Obviously, Firmino's going to be back soon, but I just feel like, you know, the people I see that have amazing ranks are posting on Twitter every day, you know, quite a lot saying, oh, I wish I had Jota, yeah, or I wish I had Jota. And he's just not quite doing it at the moment. Gallagher, genuinely, I think he's going to be a very good asset, I think, this year. He's always up in the box as well. And he's somebody that I think I will be investing in soon.
I think next week I'm going to... Yeah. I planned... With around game week 7, 8, 9, all this time, I plan to take a hit to do a sort of a mini wild card. I think I might do a third of it this week and the remaining two thirds with the hit next week, of which that will be one of my midfielders to Gallagher and one of my defenders to Rudiger. But I don't want to do that move yet. But Saar will be the other one as well.
I was just going to say, sorry, that I think if Rafinha's not past fit, it's going to be Decore or Gallagher most probably that comes in for me as a kind of long-term pick. But when you think Traore to Gallagher can happen, you can save yourself 0.4 million for a player that is basically doing the same slash better. I think it's worth the move, isn't it?
It could also be worth the move this week. The reason I think I prefer Saar is, yes, he's played Norwich, and you get people saying, it's just points chasing. Points chasing isn't bad if you're chasing points and then they keep scoring. It's just bad when they don't keep scoring. But Saar, not getting him, you know, he's not about to start a barren run. He's got Newcastle, he's got Leeds, he's just had Norwich. These are the three worst defences we have at the moment. They are the whipping boys. So he's got all three in a row. So realistically, I should have, you know, had some foresight to make that move, but I was still trusting in Traore a bit. I've had enough now. And even if Traore scores this week, he's not a player I want. I don't think I can trust him. I can't trust Traore. But the likes of Saar and Gallagher, I think I've seen enough to think that they are good long-term picks. And Gallagher in particular, it's going to be so handy. Let's have a look at midfielders 6.5 and under. So expected goal involvement here. Gallagher top. Gallagher is the best option under 6.5 in terms of expected goal involvement. And second is Saar. It's these two guys I want. These are the two guys I want that I think will help me invest elsewhere and maintain a balance. Because I think they're performing like 7.5, maybe even 8 million midfielders. And then you've got Bowen. Now, people aren't interested in Bowen because Benrahma and Antonio, but this is exactly the kind of pick that people don't notice. 12 chances created, 5 shots in the box, all on target. 6.3.
Little bit of a caveat with Bowen though. He pretty much played up top instead of Antonio against us, and he played, to be fair to him, when I was watching it, I mean, he was really involved. Like, he looked really good against us, but I think that's slightly inflated because of the last game.
Okay.
Obviously Antonio's coming back, so I would be a little bit wary of Bowen. I owned him at times last year, and he can do well, but he has long dry spells of not doing a lot.
Hey, look at this guy who's next. Traore, have you heard of him? Created 12 chances, 7 shots inside the box, and just three on target. So there they are. And there were none on target last match, were they? So
what, for Mbeumo?
No, for Traore.
Oh, for Traore. Sorry, no, there wasn't.
Mbeumo, who I chronically mispronounced there, 7 chances created. almost terminally mispronounced. 8 shots inside the box, just 2 on target though. So could be we're seeing a similar thing. Tough fixtures coming up. He's, in comparison to Gallagher and Saar, he's not someone I'm looking to invest in. But handy to know he's there. And I think we should look at those shots on target stats for him in a few weeks' time to see if he's got it. Rafinha's there. 10 chances created, 5 shots inside the box, 5 on target. Expected goal involvement, expected to be involved in just over 2. And then Trincao, very similar there. I think it'd be wise to get Rafinha. Rafinha, we've seen, has got it. I've got Bamford for Leeds, so I'm personally not looking to double up. I'm not that convinced of Leeds Yeah, but I do think if you've got no Leeds attack, they've got good fixtures.
Yeah, and do you know what? I watched obviously the Leeds game when they played against Newcastle, and what I like about Rafinha is like he's actually becoming, you know, the talisman. I mean, if he wasn't the talisman already last year anyway. And there's nothing wrong with having a great asset in a bad team. Like, you're not investing in the team, are you? You're investing in that asset. And Rafinha, he looks so good when he's on it. I think he went off 70th minute, something like that, this week. And they looked so poor as soon as he went off. They didn't know what to do. Bamford was kind of just all over the place. And I do think, and you hit the nail on the head a couple minutes ago, saying that Rafinha's the kind of guy that's 6.5 million, but he could perform to a 7.5, 8.5 million, you know, midfielder price. And I do feel like Gallagher and Saar could do the same. They're kind of going to be, we're expecting to perform a little bit more than their price is. Someone like Bowen, I think 6.3 million is about right for what he's going to give you, really. And probably the same with Traore, unfortunately. But I do feel like Gallagher, Saar and Rafinha are the ones that really stand out for me. And Bombo and Buemo, whatever everybody calls him. I think he is somebody... I think when it came to a run, I think I'd rather own Tony up top and pay that money for Tony.
Yeah.
Whereas Rafinha, Gallagher, Saar, I'm not going to be wanting to own any other players from their teams.
No.
So it's going to be those I want. And those are the three that I'm looking at. They're top of my list with Decore.
Yeah, I mean, Tony's a funny one because, I mean, they do have bad fixtures coming up. But I don't mind that as a Raya owner because I think I'll get save points, hopefully. And I wouldn't worry if I were Tony or Mbeumo owner as well, because I think they're going to get the odd goal and obviously get more in easier games. But I think Tony's quite a good price because people have sort of forgotten about those cheaper strikers. Dennis at Watford and also Pukki scored. You know, people just forget that Pukki scored because everyone's thinking of Saar. But there's still some value there. And Tony obviously got the points. So I think if people are perhaps on a wild card and they're thinking, I'm going to sacrifice Antonio, but I want Lukaku and Ronaldo. I think you've got to have a cheap striker like that to achieve some kind of balance. I mean, I'm not an advocate of getting like, you know, Scarlett or one of those non-playing, because I think with COVID and international breaks and managers being much more cautious these days with players, as we saw with the Chelsea lineup. And Norwich as well, when they came back. For too much international minutes for the managers, so didn't want to know. And I think you're going to need a bench, so you're definitely going to have them. That's why, you know, the likes of Duffy and Livramento, you know, it's a gift from the gods, aren't they?
They really are. Do you know what? It's something that I was just thinking then. Like, it's going to be so important, though, especially if you haven't got wildcard. You've got to keep those price points in your team too, like Joe mentioned earlier. Like, I've just got this horrible feeling people would be going Gallagher, Saar, you know, it just going completely cheap in the middle and maybe trying to get an extra striker or an extra defender. And if you haven't got the wild card, it could be very, very hard to move away from that quickly. And templates change so quickly as well. Like, only 2-3 weeks ago, we were talking, we want that five in midfield. We want to have all those options. And now a lot of options seem to have gone and we're talking about defence, and it can change so quickly. So it's just making sure you keep yourself flexible and open.
And I mean, especially say... So, you know, we've just wildcarded. And one of the reasons I got Traore in was because I thought I would get points from him. But also I knew I could run away from him. And there's plenty. And you know, and I should take advantage of the fact that I have got a setup where I can get on the next big thing of the template, of which it is Saar. He's still low-owned at the moment. But if he keeps doing this, that's not going to happen. Not going to keep going for long. And then soon he's going to be in 20, 30% of teams and it's 7 million, time's gone. But I still think there's time to get Saar in. There's definitely time to get Gallagher in. I think people are going to look at Gallagher and they look at his price, look at Palace, and they're going to be put off. But him and Saar, I want in. But I want to keep a Greenwood or a Jota who could be a Torres or a Grealish or a Mount, or because one of them is going to kick off.
I really, really want Gallagher to be like Willock last year, where people didn't go there because he was Newcastle.
Yeah.
And obviously he was just the perfect fourth, fifth mid in people's teams by the end of the year. And I do feel like Gallagher could be that guy this year.
But... I've been really impressed with him and Palace in general. And watching that last game against Liverpool, there was a couple of moves he did. I mean, not only is he on set pieces, but he did this amazing pass to Benteke, I think. It was just out of nowhere, really. And it was from quite from the centre of the park as well. And I just thought that was really audacious to do that. And it's against, especially against Liverpool, you know, and, you know, the likes of, you know, Jason Punchin, bless his soul, and McCarthy and MacArthur and all the other, you know, Palace midfielders we're all used to. They just wouldn't have done that. And so I'm thinking, wow.
And do you know what? It's funny, and this is not something you could, you know, go with stats or anything with, but I remember watching one of the shots, and one of the shots against Liverpool for Crystal Palace went just wide of the post or something. I think it was Benteke.
Yes, yes.
But it was looking at Benteke and seeing Gallagher right next to him. Yeah. And I just thought, he's right next to him against Liverpool. Yeah. Like, he's getting forward. Like, he's going to be getting goals this year.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Brighton are amazing, top four side. But they have notoriously been bad at set pieces. And Gallagher's on set pieces. Brighton play Palace next. Brighton against Palace is really hard to call because you always, well, you do, I do anyway. You always think Brighton are going to win it and then Palace win it with one shot all game, and it's Zaha. Basically, if Zaha's in the squad, they'll win Palace because he's just, he's a git. He keeps scoring against Brighton. For years he's done this. He's kryptonite. And with an more effective attacking midfield and a defence, quite scary. But then again, you know, it's top four side, so, you know, it's the way it is.
You've got to milk it while you can.
I've got to milk it when I can.
Yeah.
Goals imminent table. Let's get this one up. There's some midfielders on here, but it's mainly strikers.
I wonder who's up there.
Yeah. No, he's not. Traore's not there. And do you know what
I was wondering whether it's going to be my whole midfield.
No. Well, the interesting thing is Traore's not there. Traore's been top, literally top, for the last 2 weeks. There are two ways off the goals imminent table. This is the last four game weeks. You've got to have at least 10 goal attempts, and your expected goal, the quality of the shots, has to be of a standard. So you have to have a not necessarily a huge amount on target, but they have to just be of a standard to almost be a goal or be a goal. And he's just dipped off it. And he's dipped off it because he had literally no shots on target. And so the shots on target, the meagre shots on target, had just disappeared. The quality of the shots he was having have disappeared. The quantity was still there with Traore. So he's gone. Trincao is now top. Jimenez is still there. So there still could be points. Bamford has moved up the table. Good fixtures for Leeds. This is why I'm hanging on to Bamford. Adam Armstrong at Southampton. And now, when I saw the fixtures for the start of the season, and I had Tony then, I did think Tony to Armstrong when Southampton's fixtures get good, if he's performing. And I think he will. Yeah. I
really like him.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it before. I really, really like him. I'm going to be looking into I want to try and invest in him later on, but obviously it's trying to find a route to him at the moment with everything going on with midfield and defence. But I genuinely really like him. In some ways, I was kind of not hoping for an injury, but hoping that I could get rid of Antonio at some point and then downgrade to someone like Armstrong, because honestly, the shots he takes, he loves a shot, and the volume's there. So yeah, I really like
him. Who's your third striker? You've got Antonio, Ronaldo,
Richardson at Burnley.
Who he?
Yeah, I have no idea. Don't even know his first name.
The mystery man. 1.5. All you need is 1.5 to turn him into Armstrong, and you've suddenly got three up top. So that's something for people to bear in mind there. He's not, you know, you can get up to an Armstrong, a Tony, a Pukki. These are all doable if you need to. Meanwhile, Jota is still on the goals imminent table. I think 13 goal attempts, 10 shots inside the box, just three on target. They've been so close, though, and he should have been involved in a non-penalty. XG was should have been getting on for nearly two goals. These are actual goals, not goal involvement or assists. He should have scored at least twice, but he's only scored once in the last four. Gundogan is there. It's a case of, let's not forget Gundogan. And I still, you know, if I'm removing Greenwood or Jota on, Gundogan's in my thoughts, definitely.
He hasn't been in my thoughts, if I'm honest. I feel like I would be going for Grealish now in that midfield.
Yeah.
He seems the one that, you know, Pep wants to play every week. So Gundogan, I think, had that obviously purple patch last year where he was brilliant, but I don't feel like the system is the same when he got that last year. He's not been in my thoughts at all. I would go Grealish if it was me, or Torres, obviously.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I do think so. Havertz is there, still doing well. One to keep an eye on, 8.3. This is why I want to keep that 7 million, 7.5, 8 million or so price point. I want to get near to players like this. Should I need to? And poor Bruno Fernandes there, no fault of his own. He's actually probably going to score loads more points over the coming weeks. but assisting all Ronaldo's goals, and that's the point. If you've got Ronaldo in your side, who is going to? It's like the, no offense to him, it's like the Ugly Sisters. It's like, look, he's like, hey, look at me, and everyone's not. They're just going, no, I'm looking at Cinderella with the glass slippers. I'm looking at the really attractive.
You're right, Joe.
Yeah. I like my fairy tale metaphors and similes in this, but that's it. He can't compete, can he? Everyone's looking at Cinderella. It's about to strike midnight, and you know the Ugly Sisters. No looking. Unfortunately. But I think there's lots of options there. And I think it pays, as you said, not to go crazy with downgrading a midfield, but just maybe even upgrading it, but just keeping options open. Defenders.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yes,
so
we're going to have
guys.
A little look at defenders now, aren't we? Because a lot of people, and rightly so, Man City defence looks incredible. Mm. Chelsea defence looks incredible as well. Obviously, just won 3-0 against Spurs away from home, which I thought was a good result, obviously. Mm. And we're kind of looking at now thinking, actually, do we start investing a bit more in defence? It's also worth looking at players, I think, like that are underperforming in defence too, that you can upgrade to these players like Chelsea and City defenders. So, for instance, Luke Shaw. Is Luke Shaw somebody we can start selling now? Because actually they're not keeping clean sheets. He's got the output, isn't like he's putting the underlying stats in, but he's not getting the points, so it's definitely worth looking at it. I think is Alonso the highest scoring defender in the game at the moment, isn't he? And he's almost triple what Shaw's got, so yeah, it's going to be a good discussion, I think.
Gunjan in the chat has kindly pointed out that Cinderella has in fact scored 789 career goals, so well done, Cinderella. all with glass slippers on as well.
Not bad. Yeah. Or at least one of them.
So, we had some questions from the community about Chelsea and defenders in general. Jack Rouette said, which Chelsea defenders can we rely on? A manager has no name says, is it time to switch to a back four at the back, given the value in defence? HMC. I'm self-employed and I misread that as HMRC and had a minor panic attack then. So HMC said, have we had our pants pulled down by Wolves players? That does sound like HMRC, actually. But our pants pulled down by Wolves players like Semedo. It's the same with the Traore, isn't it? Now, you recommended Semedo. You didn't get Semedo in, did you?
No. Because I already had Sa.
He was your differential last week. But
he was. Cheers, Joe.
I wasn't looking at them because I had Cody because I'm boring. But I've had my doubts about Marcel and Semedo just because, like Traore, they're not. I didn't want more Traores in my side.
Yeah. And that's it. And actually, I looked at it and. I did say last week I would get Semedo over Marcel. Marcel was the one that got the two assists, obviously, and people were starting to jump on him because he was cheaper, but he does look a liability. And I think a lot of people are calling for him to be dropped and Aiton already come in. So I think I still think Semedo is a good option. He's still getting forward, but I mean, maybe this Wolves defence, kind of weren't great this week, unfortunately. No. I still think they're going to be good options moving forward. I still think, if you've got Cody, he's a great option to have on the bench and he's somebody you can keep there. I mean, I'm straight away looking at Sat in my goal and thinking, 5 million on my goalkeeper is not great. But in terms of the other player, I think which Chelsea defenders we're going to go with moving forward is a really big decision to make. I genuinely do think it is because I think a lot of players are going to have them. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of variety with which Chelsea defenders are picked. Like, even just us two.
Yeah.
You went Christensen, I went Rudiger. Yeah. Big swing.
Yeah. I mean, I went Christensen because it's what I could afford. I wanted Chelsea defence on my wild card. And I'm quite happy with him because I think I'm going to get a benching every four or five games, especially after international breaks, because he plays a lot for Denmark. So I'll take that. And I think you're going to get that with virtually all of them.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get that with Aspilicueta.
Even Mendy.
Mendy's injured at the moment. But yes, I think yeah. I think you're going to, because they've got a good backup goalkeeper. And I think Reece James will probably get the least minutes out of them. But at the same time, once he plays, he could get a Rudiger score. 14, 15 points, no problem. It's Alonso's the tricksy one. Now, he's been good for ages, and no one thought. Ben Chilwell has been literally picked up and chucked down a well. A Chilwell. And I don't know when he's going to claw his way out. Just like, you know, like what's her face in that film Ring? I mean, the Chilwell's down there. His hair's grown really long. And every time someone turns on the TV, a little bit of Chilwell dies.
Do you know what? I was going to mention Alonso, actually, because I feel like, obviously, Alonso was an incredible asset all those years ago. Like, he was an incredible asset, wasn't he? You know, but like 20 points in games, wasn't it? And we've been waiting for a Chelsea manager to play five at the back consistently. You know, under the last 2 years, it was always, oh, when you go back to a four at the back, Alonso is an absolute liability at four at the back, and they can't keep clean sheets. They're playing that five at the back all the time now, and he is... I think he's undroppable. I think he's somebody that he's playing so well for them, and I'm just wondering whether we're just completely not thinking about buying him when actually he's the best asset to buy.
Well, let's get some stats up, which back up exactly what you've said. These are Chelsea defenders. Now, I've sorted this by minutes per baseline bonus, and you know, because that shows, you know, when they keep a clean sheet, which is frequent. You know, how, you know, they're going to get their bonus just for turning up, you know, the passing, the tackling, etc. But you've also got within this minutes per XGI, so their minutes per expected goal involvement, their shots inside the box, and their starts as well. And the and obviously their cost, very important. So this shows you, I mean, in terms of minutes per baseline bonus, Thiago Silva is the one. So I believe he plays in the centre of that back three. So he's going to be involved in a lot of that kind of sweeping up, passing, tackling. He's going to hit a lot of those thresholds. Aspilicueta's next in terms of minutes per baseline bonus. And then you've got Chalobah, Christensen, then moves on to Alonso, Rudiger, and then Reece James is last. But then when you switch it around to, say, minutes per expected goal involvement, then Reece James in an absolute world of his own. He's really high up. I believe he's second only to Alexander-Arnold. So minutes per XGI expected to be involved in a goal every couple of matches. Alonso a bit more, but nevertheless he's there. He's had six shots inside the box, and then you look in at the also-rans. You've got Chalobah. You might get some attacking returns out of him. You were very lucky to get attacking returns out of Rudiger. This is rare. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
I know.
You were lucky to nail his minutes per expected goal involvement is a goal involvement every 1,500 minutes. So for you to get...
But it's been 1,500 minutes. So I got him in knowing it was coming.
So game week 10, get this guy in, because that's where... But yeah, that's what, I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way, you were lucky. He doesn't score that.
You can't ever expect those kind of goals from central defenders. Wingbacks, you're kind of expecting.
If I can get Christensen's one every seven games, goal involvement every seven games, I will consider myself lucky. But I've got, you know, getting these guys for clean sheets. So in terms of starts, now this is the one, Alonso and Rudiger have played every game. Every single game. Let that sink in. And then you've got Aspilicueta. Hasn't even played every game, just four there. Christensen is alongside Aspilicueta with four. And then you're looking at Silva, Chalobah, and then Reece James. So these are the guys that are not getting those starts at the moment. Where is Ben Chilwell? He's down the well with his big long hair, clawing his way out while people watch on TV. And no, he's not there. So
I reckon someone could Photoshop that for you, by the way, Joe.
I do hope so. I do. Yeah. Someone kindly did the Dele Alli, super sexy Dele Alli Buzz Lightyear for me. So if anyone was to do Ben down the chill well, then feel free.
Well, go on then. So let's answer the question. Let's see if we can answer it, right? And let's see if we come up with the same two players as well. If you had a clean slate this week, which two defenders are you going for the long term?
Right. Rudiger. From Chelsea, this is Rudiger. And I do, weirdly, I would say Christensen because it's value. Because I would want to get maybe a City defender. But I think if I get Rudiger and another one, it's just that 0.5 point, you know, million more. So Azpilicueta, 6 million, it's just the price. Alonso, between Alonso and Reece James, it's Alonso. It's not Reece James. I would not go for him. But I guess if I was a different type of manager, I would say Alonso and Rudiger, which is what you're going to say, I presume.
It is, yeah. When you say a different type of manager,
well,
look at my midfield. Look at my midfield on wildcard. Like, I went for it, didn't I? Yeah. And I think that's it. Like, I just feel Rudiger, I love the idea of one of them being safe, one of them being that risk. And I just think Alonso's upside is just so massive.
Yeah.
And for 5.7 million, like, I'm more than happy paying 0.7 million for the upside of Alonso to Christensen.
Yeah.
And I think if you've got both, if they both start, amazing, because you've most likely got 6 points from Rudiger, but you could have 15 to 20 points from Alonso. And it's just so tempting to do
it. I mean, I guess if I was on wildcard now with a clean slate, Rudiger and Alonso, because I can run away from Alonso. Not that his opponents can, because he's so fast. But and I can move down to Christensen. But if but with Christensen and Rudiger, I have to find 0.7 more to get to Alonso. But Rudiger's the absolute top, I think. And I think with minutes per baseline bonus, the reason I sorted with this is it shows that they're all much of a muchness, really. They're all going to get you. You know when you think, oh, Chelsea are going to get a clean sheet, and you've got a Chelsea defender, and then you're looking at the FPL site and you're thinking, oh, you know, is my defender is going to get the bonus? And they're quite high up, and they're all really high up. And, you know, so I saw them. I think Christensen was in the running for one bonus at one point and then moved out, and it goes on like that. But, you know, he could easily get me 2 or 3 bonus. Silver owners, definitely. Azpilicueta, Silver and Azpilicueta especially, because they do a lot for the bonus system. But I think overall we're saying get 2 Chelsea defenders.
Yes, I think so. I think I'm very tempted. I think City and Chelsea are going to have the best defences this year. I think their game could easily be 0-0, so I don't think either team are going to want to lose it. And I feel like 2 Chelsea defenders are going to be great value this year. And I just feel like you're going to want one of those upside defenders as well. You're not just going to want to buy one of them that's going to be they're going to get me a clean sheet. When you've got somebody like Alonso, Reece James was that man. I genuinely thought he was going to play this week. I was shocked he didn't. I think I'm talking myself into getting Alonso. This is not good, is it?
Okay. Steve Elbows points out that Alonso is actually 5.8 now. That's not since, you know, the Scoutcast started. It was just because I put the picture up last night, I think. Steve, you're quite right. So he's even more expensive to get to him. And Aditya also provides some context for James that he could actually be more nailed on than we think. So he missed the first game due to coming back late from the Euros. The fourth game he was suspended. So, of course, he couldn't have played that anyway. So his max is 4. Missed the first one because he came back late. And then he was a victim of a robbery as well in his house, which I believe was his Champions League medal was stolen. It was a safe. So he could have been quite shocked by that. So that could have been a factor why he wasn't playing. So that puts it into context. So James, or I personally wouldn't get James now, but I think if you have got James, interesting context there about him. He could actually be more nailed on than we think. So I guess he could be, you know, in that favoured back 5. So let's have a look at the best defences. And this is surprising. So this is looking at expected goals conceded. So you would expect to see Chelsea as the best defence, but they're not. I mean, they're good, but they're not. They've conceded 7 big chances. So that's the same as Crystal Palace. That's 1 less than West Ham. The best defences in terms of expected goals conceded, big chances conceded, clean sheets, all of those metrics, is City and Brentford. So Brentford have had some favourable fixtures. That may explain it. But I think anyone watching them as well thinking, actually, they're quite good. So City, where they should be, really. Villa are getting better. I don't think Villa were ever considered whipping boys, but they're definitely getting better. We talk about that a little bit more in terms of the captaincy and Ronaldo on the captaincy video, myself and Tom. So do have a look at that, or have a listen to the podcast version. I've got that uploaded now. And then Liverpool, Everton, Wolves still there. And then next to Brighton, the XG masters of last season, next to the XG gits this season. But the worst defences, Leeds, Norwich, Newcastle. So in terms of investing in defence, City are definitely up there. Brentford. Yeah. A Villa defender, when their fixtures turn, which is in a few weeks, it's not a bad shout. Liverpool, don't get rid of Alexander-Arnold. But Chelsea, I mean, the fixtures are improving. So you expect to see Chelsea rise up there. But in terms of clean sheets, they've got four. So perhaps they've been fortunate to get four. Or is it just they're good?
Yeah, I think they're good. I think, you think they played against Liverpool with 10 men for a while as well. So maybe that's inflated it. Villa, they did concede. I remember that game. They conceded quite a few shots. I thought they were lucky to come out of that the way they did, actually. I think if you added a few more weeks onto this, I think it will be just be Chelsea and City at the top. Yeah. City are comfortably top, though, aren't they? You look at that and are you going to be tempted? When I'm looking at City, I'm looking at that and thinking Diaz straight away.
Yeah.
But Cancelo's obviously there. And he's played every game, hasn't he, Cancelo?
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of them.
And you look at it and think, Cancelo's obviously got the upside, but Diaz is just so nailed in that team, isn't he? And the defence looks great.
If I can afford it, I'd probably go for Diaz for the sheer nailed on this. Also, there is attacking threat there. The times I've owned Diaz before in my FPL side, it's just amazing. dug me out of so many holes. I think it was a double game week. It was a huge score I got from him.
And Stones.
Him and Stones together. Yeah, amazing. So that's the power of doubling up as well, especially for those double game weeks. But yeah, I think a City defender is very, very desirable. My weekly mention of the Sky game, Sky managers will know Diaz is a legend in that. Yeah. I mean, basically, he turns up, he gets 5 points just turning up, tackling, that's it. And then he gets another 5 points for clean sheets. He's on 10 points for clean sheet immediately. And then if he does anything else, like assists or scores, it's huge. So he's a very captainable asset in the Sky game. But that carries over into FPL, just the reliability of him. If he does well in bonus in that format, chances are he's probably going to do well if they can keep a clean sheet and there's not the score's quite low, chances are he's going to be in the bonus as well. Yeah, I like
obviously, DS. Obviously, it's made very interesting this week because City play Chelsea.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, would that put you off investing in one this week?
Yeah,
because
for
me, I think it does.
Yeah, yeah. I've got Christensen. I'm going to play Christensen.
Yeah.
I'm not going near Rudiger. I'm not going near Diaz, Cancelo, any of those guys. I'm not going there yet. Because, yeah, you're right. It's just the fixtures. Game week 7, it turns. And from game week 9, it goes exceptional. but game week 7, the fixtures start investing in Chelsea. So I guess all of this, we're sort of... This is sort of for the Scoutcast next week, really. But, pace to keep a week ahead. And that's how we should do well in this game, hopefully, is to think a bit ahead. I've got another table. I think I put it in your notes, and I think I've managed to get a screenshot of this. This is for attacking defenders. I think in the notes I've got for you, I've got it sorted by chances created. So you can't see Reece James in that, for example. But the one I've got up on screen is minutes per expected goal involvement. So that shows that when they play, they do a job. But in terms of just sheer volume of chances created, Alexander-Arnold is top. Matt Ritchie at Newcastle is second, alongside Shaw. Then there's Alonso and Luca Dean. But in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, so this is the quality of the chances that they're getting. Alexander-Arnold's top. Then it's Reece James. So the kind people in the chat were telling us, put it into context. So if you've got Reece James, definite hold. Yeah. And I think it could be mega point haul coming your way soon. Laporte is there, then Cancelo. This is in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement. Semedo. then Alonso. And this is interesting with Alonso. So he's created 12 chances. He's 1, 2, 3. He's amongst the best six defenders in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement. And he's had 14 corners. So he's taken 14 corners. And that's what you want to see, isn't it, with a player? It's like mega involvement.
Yeah, big time. And that's where they get a lot of their bonus as well. I know that's why Shaw's doing so well at the moment, because he's taking a lot of the set pieces. And I just feel like that Alonso's floor is obviously a lot higher. I completely agree with you. I think if you've got Reece James, you've got to hold him. You can't tell him now. You just got to hope that he's going to play moving forward. But Cancelo, you know, like you said, 6 million. He's somebody you've got to have a look at after the. I think they've got Liverpool in game week 7, haven't they? So after that, obviously, but they can keep two clean sheets against Chelsea and Liverpool. You know, both those games could be 0-0, couldn't they? You never know. So, but it's a risk to maybe invest in it straight away now, but. Yeah, no, I like those players. I think, like I said, Trent, most people have anyway. He'll be back in next week as well, wouldn't he? It was just a rest. I think, was he ill, actually? Sorry.
Who was that? Sorry?
Trent. Was ill,
yeah, he was ill. So I was distracted. I just had to block someone in the live chat. Someone was very insistent that we have a look at their hot girls and hot boys. Well, I'm very insistent in blocking him. Go away.
Apparently, they've got lots of really oiled up arms and legs. I mean,
yeah, if you want hot boys, hot girls, listen back to our Traore chat. That's very moist. So, Alexander-Arnold, yes, he was ill. Hopefully he'll be back. He better be.
Yeah, good.
Hopefully he's blocked this guy. Sorry, yes, I won't be distracted by that anymore.
No.
So, yeah, those attacking defenders, I think Reece James owners can take heart with that as well. I think we've pretty much laid out our plans for midfielders and defenders. A bit more money in defence, but not too much, and keep our options open. Last week we talked a lot about strikers, and we'll come back to that again because of Lukaku and Ronaldo. So what's your latest on Lukaku and Ronaldo? Are you going to go for both? Just one?
No, I won't be going for both.
No.
I've decided that. I don't like the idea of both, and I feel like there's a bit of a split with what people are going to do. I just don't like the idea of both, basically. I think with the way their fixtures are as well. My original plan was to do in game week 7 Ronaldo to Lukaku.
Yeah.
But after talking to a certain somebody before this, you are kind of making me sway towards maybe doing it in game week 9 and keeping Ronaldo for the 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be on double Chelsea defence by then anyway, and I feel quite good about that. And then Lukaku comes in game week 9. So, yeah, I definitely won't be owning both. It's just when I make the move.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, maybe game week 9 could be the time.
So I think when you look at the fixture difficulty on FPL website or indeed, you know, any other metrics, even Fantasy Football Scout, you look at certain fixtures and there'll be a certain colour. But you have to look a bit behind it and think, well, actually, is that team actually that colour? Type of defence. And I think we're seeing that very much with Chelsea and Manchester United's fixtures coming up. Game week 7, Chelsea play Southampton. And they have proved quite good against good attacks. I know it's Lukaku, but nevertheless, they are not the whipping boys you would think. Meanwhile, Manchester United play Everton, and then they play Leicester. These are not tricky defences at all. So I think game week 7 and 8, Ronaldo is very keepable, very captainable, despite the good fixtures for Lukaku. So he has Brentford, but we've already said Brentford are the second best defence at the moment. Small sample. Will that continue? But it's game week 9. This is when I'm not going to go for both. I've got Ronaldo, keep until game week 9, and then he goes to Lukaku. Can I afford that move? Of course I can. Because Lukaku is much less than Ronaldo. And the reason is game week 9, Chelsea have Norwich defence, followed by Newcastle's defence, followed by Burnley. It's a great three-game run. Lukaku's got to be the main captain then, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. When you're looking out there, and it'd be when in that run-up then, before you lose Lukaku, are you going to be captain Ronaldo in any of those fixtures? Are you going to be captain Ronaldo against Everton, Leicester?
Yeah, probably.
Who does Salah have?
Looking at the fixtures, so Salah has I'll tell you what, this segue in.
Look at this. So there we go.
Next four fixtures, get it up so we can share it away. So let's find out where Liverpool are. So, yeah, they've got Brentford next. But then game week 7, they've got City. So, no, I'll be captaining Ronaldo then, not Salah. Then they have Watford away. So Salah suddenly becomes... Now, that's a grudge match after a couple of seasons ago. So I think Salah's very captainable that week. And then game week 9, and this is where it turns. So conveniently, in terms of the captaincy, when you really want Lukaku, when you need Lukaku for the captaincy, game week 9, and he's got all those marvellous fixtures we were telling you, that lovely run of three, Ronaldo, meanwhile, has Liverpool, Spurs, and Man City. I mean, so it's perfect. It's a perfect changeover. But I don't think... I think the water's a bit muddied for game week 7 and 8. I don't think you would look at, like, oh, game week 7, oh, dump Ronaldo, get Lukaku. I don't think it's as clear as that. Game week 9, it becomes very clear, though.
No, I know what you mean. And actually, I think a lot of people have had game week 7 in their head for so long, and now we're finally getting here, and obviously we're realising what the good defences are. And Southampton and Brentford maybe aren't the worst defences to what we thought they would be. So that's where fixture tickers can change quite quickly. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, though. It is something that I'm trying to do a lot this year, where I'm trying not to think about defences too much and trying to think about attacks. Like, people did that a little bit this week with Salah and Crystal Palace. People were looking at Crystal Palace and saying they've started the season well. You know, maybe Salah isn't the best captain, and obviously they won 3-0. So I'm looking at it and thinking, are we overthinking that? And actually, Southampton at home and Brentford away are still good fixtures, and Lukaku could still do well. You know, Man United have, who was it? They've got Everton at home, Leicester away. They could still do well too, but it's is it better to do that early and free up a little bit of cash to invest somewhere else? I don't know. It's still up in the air for me.
Now, I've been intrigued by the live chat again, not the person trying to advertise their website, but Mark O'Leary, well, presumably he hasn't been advertising his website. Mark O'Leary says it's a trap, Joe. So I'm wondering, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about Southampton, because he's talking about Chelsea and Norwich. Game week 9 is Norwich. So Chelsea play Norwich. Game week 9, as we said, at home. Great fixture. But it's squeezed between two midweek Champions League games. Yeah. Now, Tuchel, if you're going to rest Lukaku for a fixture, are you going to rest him Champions League? Are you going to rest him against the Championship side? Are you going to rest him against the Champions League side?
But the only two other players you might have are Ronaldo and Salah. And are you really going
to... No, he doesn't. Tuchel doesn't care who we've got in our fancy side to captain. I mean, for him, as a manager, he can play another striker against Norwich and still come away with a handsome victory. So in terms of...
Which other striker? I suppose they won't play a striker, will they? Probably play just...
Norwich would still lose. So... I mean, that's putting doubt. That's Mark has put doubt in my mind, but I think if you are to finally bench your star striker for an easy, it's going to be the easy match there. So, you know, I'm sure the scout cast coming up to game week 9, we're going to be thinking about this.
Interesting. I get the impression you probably start the game and go off earlier rather than not playing at all. It's something to think about. I just feel like with these kind of things, you can overthink it too much.
And I
feel like that's the kind of thing where people around you might be saying, oh, no, I'm a bit worried.
Whereas, on paper, Lukaku against Chelsea at home is the best, the standout captain of all time. But just to be aware that we are starting to get in Champions League fixture congestion. So something to keep an eye on. It's good to have a good vice captain.
Maybe put vice captaincy on Alonso.
Not bad.
Or Captain Alonso.
Be safe. Looking at the season ticker, next four, Leeds are top. This is why, you know, people got Bamford, Rafinha, these types of players are people are thinking of there. I don't really like their defence, but West Ham, Watford, Southampton and Wolves are okay. I would say Watford and Wolves are probably the better ones there for attacking returns. Southampton could be tricky and West Ham could be. Then Newcastle as well. So St. Maximin could be an option. Leicester's fixtures turned. I don't know if you've noticed this guy Jamie Vardy, but he's been quietly scoring, and it happens every season. We all ignore him, and he shoots up to near the top of the striker charts.
They've also got a really good winger that nobody at all started with at the start of the season called Harvey Barnes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He could be quite a good look. I think he's dropped to about 5.5 million now. So
yeah, Tielemans, pride of place in my, well, not pride of place, but pride of place in my Sky team, Tielemans. And I think Leicester assets could do well. They've got Burnley, Crystal Palace, Manchester United is a tricky one. Then they've got Brentford. So there are potential. There's potential there. Chelsea, as we mentioned there, they've got City and then Southampton and Brentford, on paper quite good, and then then it just goes exceptional from game week 9. Then you've got Wolves still trucking along, but I think both you and I have had enough already. Southampton, Newcastle, Villa and Leeds. I think I'm going to relegate Cody to first sub, and Traore is going to go. I just don't want him. I don't want him long term. Just fair, you know, enough. In FBL, you have to you know, put your hands up sometimes and go, I took a punt on this player, hasn't worked out. May work out for 1 week, but I can't. Over the next month, how many points are we going to get from them? I can't see any. Hey, you got Saka, haven't you? Arsenal's fixtures still good.
I love him. Honestly, Tottenham, I'm so happy to have him.
Tottenham, Brighton, Palace, Villa, good fixtures.
Yeah.
Everton, still good. They've got Norwich next. Manchester United, that's a tricky one. And then they got West Ham and Watford, but you know, bad fixtures. Brentford. So in terms of Brentford assets, don't get any in. But if like me, you have a Brentford, you have Raya. I think he's very playable. Liverpool, West Ham, United, Chelsea, and Leicester. Most people do think I'd be mad for that. I look at that and I think mega saves. He's not going to get the clean sheets, but he's going to get massive saves in that.
I tell you what though, I'm kind of gutted you didn't go for the Raya Guaita double up, because Crystal Palace's fixtures look quite nice now, and you'd be tempted to just play him.
I told you I could not afford it, and that was on my wildcard. That was what I really wanted to do. And if I find myself with 0.5, I still might do that. I do like having two playing goalkeepers who are cheap. But you're right. It's game week 9 when Brentford play Leicester, which isn't too bad. But Palace play Newcastle, and of course Palace have Brighton and they win 1-0 with one shot. Against while Brentford have Liverpool, so definitely good. Differentials. So do you want to go first? Who's your differential for this week, coming 4 weeks?
Yeah. So my differential is I think it's about 3% owned at the moment, and it is Decore. So here's somebody for me who I feel like with that gap at the moment in creative midfield for Everton. You know, they get a lot of praise for their wingers at the moment. And obviously, Calvert-Lewin started well, but he's injured now. I feel like actually Decore is finding that space in front of him to move forward. Really like the fixture against Norwich. I mean, anybody playing against Norwich seems to be getting joy at the moment. I think Decore got 2 assists this weekend as well. So he's already getting the returns. And I like his price. I like his ownership. And I feel like he's somebody that's going to go under the radar. He was somebody years ago when he was at Watford that when he played that box-to-box role was excellent as an asset. And I feel like he could do very well for Everton this year as well. So, so he's my differential moving forward.
Yeah, no, very good. I agree. I've always liked Decore. I've never managed to get him in, but he's always scored those. He's always done well in like bursts.
Yeah, especially powerhouse, isn't he?
Good fixtures, powerhouse. My one is a 5.4 midfielder. He's in 1.8% of teams, with a goal and 2 assists so far. Plus, he plays on the right against Norwich's obliging left wing and Watford and Manchester United defence in the next 4-2. I've mentioned Manchester United's defence. They can't keep a clean sheet at the moment. It's, of course, Andros Townsend. He is my differential. Now, for those going, right, Joe's finally lost it here, Andros Townsend. 1.8% teams, 5.4 midfielder, goal and 2 assists so far. I've got a tweet up on the screen from FPL Swede, who I follow a lot on Twitter. He has pointed out, he's got the history, very short history, of the right wingers versus Norwich this season. Game week 1, Salah, 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 big chances created. Game week 2, Jesus, 2 assists, 2 big chances created. Remember that game when he was playing on the wing and we thought, wow. I thought it was Garincha. It was incredible. Game week 3, Albrighton. Remember him? A goal, 1 shot on target. Game week 4, Pepe. one assist, three shots on targets, six key passes. Game week four, Saar, two goals, five shots on target, four big chances. This is... So, game week six, Townsend, what's it going to be? I mean, could he be the first one to buck this trend of not getting any returns or not being in any way impressive? Or is there something about the Norwich left wing that is causing this? I mean, I think if you're going to get, if you're going to go for a 1 week punt, Townsend, I think is a good option. If you want to go and for cheaper midfielder, Townsend is a good option. My decision this week in terms of Traore replacements is literally between Saar and Andros Townsend. And I never thought I would have said that at the beginning of this season. But I do like him.
I think I know which one I would be going with.
There's one more thing to add. The Everton penalty situation is currently up in the air. All of their main penalty takers are off the pitch. So it could be Luca Dean. It could be Damari Gray, because he took one in for Everton in a friendly during the summer. Mm-hmm. It could be Townsend, who has taken eight in his career. Guess how many he's scored out of those eight?
How many?
Every single one.
Oh, really?
100% records. Could be Rondon. He's also taken eight. Oh, not 100% though. No, he's missed two. Oh, no. So... Oh.
Well, we know it won't be Luca Dean because he has to disappoint his owners every single week. Yeah. So
they might take it to listen. Well, I was pointing out on the Capsy video that Everton have a funny relationship with it with penalty takers. And kindly, the people in the chat pointed out the midfielder who snatched the ball from Leighton Baines, I couldn't remember, was of course Kevin Morales, stole the ball off him and then missed. And then I believe Richarlison has tried that as well off Sigurdsson or Calvert-Lewin.
Off Calvert-Lewin.
Off Calvert-Lewin, failed, I think, and so on. So if Everton get a penalty, I'll be interested to find it, because it really could be any of those front three.
Yeah, well, it could be, yeah. I'd love it to be someone completely different now, like Yerry Mina.
Yeah, it could be. But, Andros Townsend. It could be Decore. Wouldn't that be good?
I'd love it to be Decore now.
Let's have a look at Alex's team. Now, Alex is an FPL manager that has finished the top 100. He's doing ever so well over the seasons. But he didn't want to play this season, but he created his team. So he was faced with just like letting it run its course as a dead team. Or he said, giving it to us to manage on his behalf. And we've been doing okay. We've been doing okay through a mixture of not doing anything and doing some things. So he got 55 this week with Bamford in for DCL. So we've got some points from there. So we did better. We didn't when you make a transfer and you actually get less points because of the transfer, it's bad. But we made him points. He's got Tony in his side. So the team we've got up at the moment is the team, sort of the bus team for game week six. He's got Tony there. I thought in my head he had Rudiger, but he hasn't. So he did reasonably well. So he's around the £500,000 mark. And I look at this. So he's got Backman or Sanchez in goal. I put Backman in case he's fit. Alexander-Arnold, hopefully he's fit. Shaw should play. Soufal. These are great defence. He's got Salah, Fernandez, captain. I put because I think Manchester United against Villa. Salah could be the captain. One of those two. Which do you think?
I just don't want Bruno in that team anymore.
No. But we are at the moment. So.
We are. I think out of the two of them, you probably go with the Villa defence. I mean, when you looked at earlier, I think Villa was just below Brentford,
they are better. But I just think we think Ronaldo, the team seems to be clicking around Ronaldo. Fernandez has looked good. I think there's going to be points. It's going to be one of those. We'll talk about that later on Twitter. If anyone has any thoughts, do tweet us about that or leave some comments. But between Salah and Fernandez.
Yeah.
Barnes and Traore we have. Barnes I'm tempted to keep because Leicester's fixtures are better.
Yeah.
And then we've got Antonio, great fixture. Bamford's reasonable fixture. Tony against Liverpool. And then on the bench we've got Tsimikas, Ayling and Brownhill. I mean, my instinct for this is is Traore out. We got $500,000, by the way. So Traore out for Sarr, okay, or one of those Everton midfielders.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking wild cards, maybe game week 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Not 7, because he's got a lot of Manchester United and they have good fixtures.
I think if we are wildcarded in 8, then I think Sarr, personally.
Yeah.
Because I think if he has those lovely two fixtures and then we can wildcard and choose everything else. So I think Traore Sarr makes sense.
Yeah.
It was between him and Barnes, and actually if we're wildcarded in 8, we don't need to worry too much about freeing up funds from downgrading Barnes. So
I think that would be a good policy there. But I think it's the captaincy really to decide on. But I'll make those moves on Friday. But I think this will just truck on for a couple of weeks and then and that wild card. So that's going to be, hopefully we'll still be here. I mean, not that we're going to get sacked, but I mean, hopefully we'll be around. I think I've got a week off annual leave and you might be on leave soon. So,
I'm just looking again at that captaincy. I'm actually thinking might be better on Salah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking if it was Salah versus Ronaldo.
Yes.
I think go with Ronaldo, but I think Salah versus Bruno, I think Salah's maybe the better option.
Yes, I think you could be right there. So I think we might make that change. But I think it's game week 8 wildcard. That's when we can move to Chelsea. I think we can get our double Chelsea defence. We can probably do Ronaldo to Lukaku, just get in early on that one. And we can look at the midfield, assess it. We might want some City. We'll know a bit more about them then. We could be looking at something like a 4-4-2, but we've got things to decide there. I think that would be quite a good thing to do. Just checking, Andy, are you still with me and can you hear me?
Yeah, you went a bit funny for a
yes,
bit.
Yes, good. I did notice you were quite still on my screen.
Yeah.
I just wondered, Jesus, is he asleep or we've got some things to think about there. Let's move on to our teams. Here's me for game week 6. Raya, who is playing Liverpool, not Tottenham. I was sent these to check and there's still the odd ones. I mean, this comes a point where we just put the screen grabs up, it's easier. But anyway, so Raya against Tottenham, Alexander-Arnold hopefully plays, Christensen I'll take and hope it's a 0-0. Livramento over Cody. That was my only decision really for this week.
I think it's a good decision, I think.
I think I like Livramento. I think he's got attacking threat. Cody hasn't. Mm. So Cody, I'm looking at sort of 2 to 6 points. Livramento, who knows? Salah, my vice captain. Jota, another week. Greenwood, another week. Traore, I think I'm going to move on to Sarr.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio, Bamford, Ronaldo as my captain. And I've got Cody I've mentioned, Sissoko and Williams. So yeah, my two decisions, Livramento over Cody and Traore out. Because I just think I'm going to be stuck with Traore forever if I don't just make the move, even if it costs me a hit in the next 2 or 3 weeks down the line somewhere. I think it's just a move to do, really.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's find your team there. And so, do you want to take us through your team, who you're captaining and any transfer plans?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm going to bring it up on my phone quickly because I haven't quite got it up on the screen yet.
Don't look at it on the screen.
Sign goal against Southampton away. Hopefully I get a few save points there, but I'm not expecting a clean sheet. Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger and Shaw. I'm actually quite happy with that at the back. I feel like that's quite strong this week. I feel like that City game could be 0-0, hopefully. So the rest of it looks quite good. I've got Salah as vice-captain. Torres is most likely not going to be there because I need to use a transfer unless I wanted to burn one because I've got two. So I feel like Torres is either going to turn into Rafinha, but if Rafinha's not fit, then it'll probably be Sarr. It's either Sarr or someone like Decore if I wanted to free up a few more funds. But I do like Sarr for the next 2 weeks, so it's not that bad a move. But Rafinha is my preferred option there. Saka I like this week. I think home to Spurs, he could do quite well.
Yeah.
Then I've got Jota and Traore. Traore, like I said, he's not as much a priority for me just because he is playing the minute. So at least he's going to get me some points. Ronaldo captaincy, I'm not thinking about too much. Love that fixture, home to Villa. And then still got Antonio. So Antonio away to Leeds. Leeds are leaky. defence is ruined. Ailing's now going to be out as well. I think that looks quite good. Obviously, you're playing Livramento, but I don't feel like I've got anybody I can drop to play Livramento personally, although I do like that fixture.
Well, I think I can see a guy you've got to drop is Traore, first sub.
Could be, couldn't it? But I think I'm going to go with the upside of playing Traore with his XG. Yeah.
Even though I'm getting rid of Traore and playing Livramento, when you look at it, you look at your own team and you look at, and your decision is attacker or defender, more often than not, you get points by going the attacker. I mean, I personally, with my own decisions, I hope that's not the case in this particular case, but I do think that, if you're looking at a choice between a Southampton defender and a Wolves attacker, go there. But I don't know, maybe logically, this could be a nice 4-4-2.
Yeah, usually these players do it when everybody gives up on them.
Yeah, so. Yeah. When I give up on them specifically.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully. So I'm feeling good. Feeling good about that.
Yeah, story. That's good. Well, I mean, we both wildcarded recently, so we should be, our team should be quite, flexible and be able to cope with these things. And you just put that in practice, really. So you're looking at Torres maybe moving him, and you've just listed two options already. No, actually three options, didn't you? Rafinha, Sarr, could be one of the Everton midfielders.
Yeah.
So you can run away from him very easily and save money. Yeah. That's the benefit of having a wild card that's flexible. I hope others that are wildcarding do the same as well. Before we go, I want to remind people about the members area. That's where we got all those lovely stats from. Lots of Opta-driven data there, including the comparison tool as well, which is quite useful for these types of 50-50 decisions. Rate my team and more, and the goals imminent table as well. Do check that out. But in the meantime, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Goodbye, all.